Hey, Patches, or should I say plain bagel? I am so sorry for such a late response. This has been really, really long overdue. I don't know why I put it off so much, except maybe I think I was kind of nervous to respond to this message because it's probably one of the nicest things that anybody has ever said to me. Especially, I didn't feel like there were any like ulterior motives or anything like that. And it's like, how do you respond to something like this that is just so incredibly nice? I was floored by this message that you'd sent, and I kind of knew to expect it because the lady layer had told me, to keep an eye out for somebody named Patches. And that you were a friend of hers that like really liked my stuff. And yeah, okay, let me get into the response. First of all, Scott Pilgrim reference. Very nice way to start a DM. And please call me Deadly. Mr. Deadly is my father. Yeah, so this series was sort of like a pipe dream of mine, and I think I very much was kind of like yourself, where I didn't really have much expectations of things being as crazy as they were. I had done some more complicated audios in the past, but nothing to this scale before, and I didn't expect it to turn into what it turned into, but I just kind of was on a roll, if that makes any sense. But hearing that I don't know if you're into M4F content or into male content. I'm not really sure about that, but knowing that you listen to it despite, it not necessarily being for you is like one of the most amazing compliments that I could possibly get. And this response is just like overwhelmingly, how do I put it? Overwhelmingly flattering. Like, let me see. I'm reading through right now, trying to get a foothold on what I'm talking about. Oh, the magic thing. You practice magic. That is so fucking cool. I wish I would have maybe done a little bit more research for that character, because I did quite a bit more with the other characters, but the main thing with the magician was I envisioned him being very fun and sort of melodramatic, and when it's real magic, you don't really need much explanation. So, yeah, it was crazy. It was such a fun character to do. And you stopped halfway through the episode to wait till the series was done so you could binge it. That is nuts. Like, I'm actually not the type of person to listen to a whole lot of audio content, which is a lot, like, really surprising to a lot of people. But me, like, I cannot imagine listening to, like, what it must have been, something like almost 3 or 4 hours worth of content that's like this crazy wild circus stuff. So imagining somebody binging it, like, despite the fact that it's not necessarily intended for them or whatever, is just absolutely like incredible and baffling to me. And so flattering. And I cannot begin to thank you enough for this message. And I hope that an audio response is a sufficient enough response to encapsulate how much your message made me feel just, I don't know, it's hard to find the words. I got multiple messages like this from other people like you, that said that the series was an inspiration to them and stuff, and that just, like, is the most rewarding thing out of all of this, is knowing that I have inspired other people to pursue their own creative endeavors. And I can't imagine it'll be too long before somebody else swoops in and does this type of thing better than me, but I feel confident saying that I'm the first to do something like this, or at least to pull it off. Maybe somebody else has done something similar, but yeah, and in terms of taking up too much of my time, I have nothing but, so I have no worries about that. Yeah, the music thing to me is like almost like a character in and of itself. And so music is something that's really important in my personal life. Spend a huge amount of time with it, writing and learning and all that kind of stuff, and I teach as well, so it's been it was sort of something that I always like incorporating into stuff like this. And so I'm really glad that people enjoyed it as much as they did. I'm so bad at taking compliments. I had wanted to do more guest voices, but I kind of became a bit of a control freak with this project and didn't want to let go of the reins, which I think was a good decision to make, because you can't always control people's schedules or performances or anything like that. For example, you know, Totally Not Natalie just released the Zodiac project, which myself and Lady and a lot of people that helped with this project are in, and the date that everything was due was November 1st, and it just barely came out like 2 days ago. And I anticipated that sort of issue, and with working with such a tight schedule, I knew that I couldn't put myself in a position to stress out about whether or not somebody was going to give me their parts on time. But yeah, I'm glad it comes across how hard I worked, because it was like, I think on average each audio probably took about 20 to 25 hours. A huge majority of that was editing. It probably takes about 15 hours per audio to edit. On some of the easier ones, maybe about 12, but the recording process is several hour long process, and then, you know, the writing, depending on whether or not it comes naturally, can be anywhere from a couple hours to, you know, several hours. So it's doing this and trying to pay my rent without missing deadlines and going hungry was definitely kind of a task. And it's very rewarding to have somebody acknowledge, you know, that it did take a lot of time and effort, because it's very easy to just drop a comment and say, hey, this was great, and then just never say anything else again. And then yeah, I'm really glad that you said the thing about natural talent. I am a strong believer that there's not really such a thing as natural talent. I think people may have natural inclinations towards things, certain very specific things, but I think that what I am doing is a culmination of a lot of skills that I've built up through several years. I've been playing music for, oh God, more than a decade now. And I think the only thing that I would say is something that I haven't worked very hard on in the past would be writing. I wouldn't consider myself much of a writer. And if you'd seen the first rough drafts of each of these, you probably would feel the same. I got a lot of things like deadly. These sentences are just massive run-on sentences. Like, you have to stop to breathe, my guy. So, luckily I have, you know, much, much more talented people at my disposal, like the Lady Layer and, you know, Incelerate, who was basically the co-author of the series. It was kind of our brainchild, but then, you know, I was the one that did the majority of the writing. And then, of course, there's Pure Rosemary, who wrote The Lion Tamer, was phenomenal, phenomenal writer, and just, like, absolutely changed the way that I thought about the writing process. And yeah, I think for me, writing, like, I have the ideas in my head and I know how the characters will behave or should behave. And I think sometimes just getting it out on paper is a little bit hard for me. So I'm not much of a worder, I should say, but I can come up with situations and, you know, dialogue and things like that that work in my head. On paper, they look terrible, but then once they actually get out, I think they do okay. Yeah, lots of spelling errors is basically what I'm saying, and run-on sentences. The fourth wall breaks. I had such a hard time resisting the urge throughout the entire series to break the fourth wall with the narrator Dudley thing. And I kind of caved a little bit in the Wolfman when Dudley makes the comment about, like, he describes the listener as being an undisclosed height and weight, and says that she, you know, he remarks on how meta that is, and I feel like that was me kind of caving and just acknowledging the fact that, like, he was aware that he was in an audio, like, in a work of fantasy, basically, which I always enjoy when I see it. I really like Deadpool, if that doesn't come across. I like things like that, where they sort of push the limits of what the reality of the world is. And I kind of wanted this to be spooky to an extent, but more than anything, I wanted it to be kind of a mindfuck. And developing that was a lot of fun, especially because I didn't realize how easy it was to throw people off and to get people confused and to really, really surprise them. And that was a lot of fun, finding out little things that I could do to kind of, like, make people ask questions, although some of them didn't land quite well. For example, like Dudley not appearing in the Snake Charmer and the Fortune Teller audios, I intended for that to make people nervous that Dudley was, like, not going to show back up, that there was something wrong. But I think he just seemed too powerful right out of the gate, and so people didn't think that there was any possibility that anything could have happened to him. I think more than anything, people just thought that he didn't care whenever the fortune teller called out to him and was like, oh, Deadly, that whole thing. So it kind of backfired a little bit, but, you know, you live and learn. Let's see, skimming through your message. Yeah, I think in regards to the acting and stuff, I was a theater kid all the way from middle school until several years into college, and then I had intended on becoming getting a degree in Associates of Arts on a junior college level, and then transferring to a university and pursuing it there. But I kind of lost my love for it. I think mainly because there tends to be a lot of like backstage drama, and I wasn't as into that. But what I was into that I discovered through the process was music. I fell in like I didn't ever play music until I was in my early 20s. I think I was actually, yeah, I was 20. And I had a bass guitar just by happenstance, and I was in choir. I joined choir because I wanted to improve my acting skills, and I figured being able to sing was something that was really important. But I had never taken choir classes prior to this, and one of the guys that was in my choir class asked me if I, because he knew I had a bass, and he asked me if I would play in his band, and I was like, well, I don't really know how to play music. And he was like, that's okay, I'll teach you. And that was kind of where everything started for me. So, like I said, the acting, the music, the audio stuff, because I did end up eventually switching my major over to recording engineering, and that's where all of the editing skills come from. Although I will say, I was like the worst in my class for the editing stuff. Like, my teacher was so hard on me. And maybe it's partially because, music and editing voice stuff is a little bit different. I would say music is arguably harder, because it takes a lot more attention to detail. You have to really know what you're doing. cleaning up a bad performance is a lot of work. And yeah, yeah, the voice stuff, I don't know, it makes more sense to me for some reason. I think there's just a lot of less moving parts, and so it makes it a bit easier. I say that, but the Wolfman Audio had 57 tracks, individual tracks that had to be managed, and I was able to sort of boil a lot of that down, but just with the different sound effects and different wolf noises and disappearing clothes and, music and stuff like that. There was a lot of stuff going on in that one. I think that one was actually that one might have been the most complicated, of all of them because of the chase scene and all of the sound effects for like the booby traps and the music, and that one was just a really, really ambitious endeavor. I think I did okay. Let's see, skimming again. So this is the part that I'm really excited about, is you always thought about making a series of audio, or you always thought that trying to make a series was just dumb, something that was too ambitious, too great a task. Yet seeing my series grow and how much time and effort I put in, made your ideas not seem so far-fetched. You're thanking me for putting so much effort into your work. That just, I don't know how to say thank you enough. Like, I don't really know how to say it. All I can say is like, I'm so happy that it made you feel that way, and that I cannot wait to see what you have in store for us. And it's mind-boggling to me that this crazy little pipe dream I had, changed something for somebody, not in a porn way. Like gave you ideas or sort of bridge the gap between what was possible and what was just like sort of a fantasy. Because I think, I don't know, a lot of this concept was born out of maybe a dissatisfaction with the way that things are kind of done in the community. A lot of things, like the narrator, came from me being dissatisfied with one-sided scripts that have a lot of implications. I've never really liked that, when people say things that you just wouldn't say, you know? Like, it's just not real conversational dialogue. It's directed at spelling out for the listener what's happening. So you either spell it out for them in a way that's awkward and unrealistic, or you don't spell it out and they have to figure out what the fuck is going on. And it's really confusing, and it just takes me out of it. And I wanted to avoid that. And I've always really liked dramatic readings of things. And so the narrator was born. And I think that gave me the freedom to basically do whatever I wanted, because it's like, you know, if I want to have a giant fucking demon appear and hold you in the palm of his hand, I just have to describe it. And it, you know, if I add a little sound effects here and there and maybe a voice effect to the character itself, it works. And I have said this on multiple occasions to multiple people, like, audio is one of the most limited of medias, because of the fact that, like, you have to describe everything, you have to create the environment and everything like that. But because you're taking away all of those other senses and you're relying on the imagination to do a lot of the heavy lifting for you, I think it's actually one of the most freeing of mediums, because you don't need a huge budget to literally do almost anything you want. I've got some pretty crazy ideas for the Christmas series. I actually just posted the first episode on Patreon last night, and I'm a little bit nervous about it because it's kind of one of those, like, sophomore slump. What if this doesn't do as well as my circus series? But the Lady Lair really loved it. So I'm hoping that it goes well and it's well received. But approaching those things, like, for example, giant monsters or, you know, something crazy like that, or having the ability to describe it and then it becomes a reality is insane. You can't do that in a movie. It requires such a massive budget to pull it off and to make it realistic. So I'm to surmise, I'm super, super happy to have inspired, you know, your future endeavors and stuff. And I know that, the Lady Lair had told me that you're primarily a writer. Like, you really, she said you're a fantastic, fantastic writer. And so knowing that all of this stuff came from a writer, is just amazing, because I don't know. I feel like I hold the writers a little bit in higher esteem, because it takes, not a whole lot to read, in my opinion, to, like, read a script in a dramatic way, and then record it and do some, you know, quick editing and throw in some sound effects. That's very straightforward, but to be a writer, I think, is something that's very admirable and something to be celebrated, which, unfortunately, writers aren't celebrated enough in this community. Like, a lot of the credit ends up just going towards the performers, which is kind of just how it always goes anyways. Like, people always talk about, you know, stuff like the Avengers movies, but people don't quite talk as much about the writers as they do the actors. And so, yeah, it's kind of a sad thing. But yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait to see what you end up coming up with. Especially now that I follow you on Twitter and have you on Discord, and hopefully we'll get a chance to, like, hang out, and hopefully you won't feel awkward, because Lady did tell me you're kind of a nervous bean, and you were a bit shy to reach out to me. I hope I'm not, like, throwing her under the bus too much, but really, like, I love meeting people and I love making friends and just interacting. And if I can talk about people about things that are creative without it being like, fangirls thirsting, even better, because this turned from just a weird pastime that I had to, hold on a sec. Sorry. This turned from like just a weird pastime I had into something that I am super, super passionate about. So much so that after the circus series was over, it took me like 3 weeks to shut my brain off. And then I had like 1 week of relaxation, and then it was time to get back into another series. So, it's exciting. And then in terms of releasing this for free, I think my content is good, but I feel skeptical as to whether people would, actually find it if I charged for it. So I don't know. I also don't like the idea of making it cost anything. Like, if people want to support me financially, I would love to give them that option. And obviously it would be great to be able to make money and be able to have my creative endeavors support me, but making it something that you have to pay for the whole story. Like, I'll give bonus scenes for, a little bit of extra change, because there's so much to this world that is not displayed in the circus series. There's so many events that happen behind the scenes and things like that. And so I'll charge for those. Or I'll give it as a bonus for people that do decide to support me. But no, in terms of like the free content, I feel like the story, the important parts of the story should be public. And yeah. So hopefully you enjoy the next journey, which is through like a whole series of winter myths from different cultures that I've kind of hodgepodged together in this really crazy story that kind of centers around the sun goddess Amaterasu from Japanese Shintoism. I don't know if it's gonna work out very well, because it goes from like Christmas themed in the very first 5 minutes, it goes from Christmas themed to like to like traditional Japanese like music. And luckily I think a lot of my fans are very into like anime and stuff like that because of the nature of my content. So I think it'll be appreciated, but I don't know exactly. I just really wanted to have, after doing something where there's sort of a bit of a patriarchy, I wanted to do something where there was a matriarchy. And I've always loved Shintoism and just different folklores in general. Yeah, so it's exciting. I've taken up so much of your time. But I encourage you to, if you want to talk more about this kind of stuff, like, let's jump in a VC, you, me, and the lady layer, and let's like talk about it and share ideas. And if you ever have any questions, if you ever want to know how I did something or anything like that, or if you have any suggestions for me, I'm here to learn and to share and to grow and hopefully make sure that the future creators that we all start improving and bringing, better and better content, and hopefully in a positive way too, because I know that there's a lot of weird clickiness in some of the more popular performers that I've always kind of thought was a little gross. So, yeah. But yeah, reach out to me. I would love to talk to you some more. Especially now that we've played Among Us and stuff together, you're super fun to play with. But anyways, I will let you get back to your life. Oh my God, 30 minutes. It's a 30-minute fucking recording. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your message and for being a wonderful person. And the Lady Layer has amazingly sweet things to say about you. And considering that she is the probably the kindest, sweetest person I've ever met, if she has such wonderful things about to say about you, then I think that you're the kind of person that I want to know more. So thank you, and have a good day.